How's everybody this morning? Great, don't get no better. Well, I got to testify as soon as I get this headset off. I want to thank everybody that's been praying for me in my job situation. I love to work. I'm not disappointed that I have a job like some people are. I'm glad I got a job. Unemployment's probably as low as it's ever been and ever. We're staying under three, in the threes now. And they said when you get under four, you are looking for help. You have now took the barrel, scraped the bottom, tilted, and scraping some more. So those of you that are looking for a job, it's a great time to go get a job. Those of you looking for help, it's horrible out there. You got the people now that don't want to work. That's what the nation says. 3 to 4% of our people don't want to work. And that's where we're at. But I am excited to be here today because I heard, how many of y'all remember scriptures in Genesis when God cried out to Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? And there's a few other scriptures in there where the Lord is speaking to people, where art thou? And I heard that about 2 months ago. And I said, Lord, at Florida's Natural. Again. And we've had a change in business, and long story short, I have somebody that's taking my place today. So I'm going to pray for him during church services, and I'm going to get all I can and can all I get while I'm here today. Amen. my favorite book in the Bible is the book of Matthew. For those of you that have been in my class, we have some new people in our class soon. Austin's going to be in our class. Gabby's going to be in our class. Lacey's going to be in our class. Who am I missing? Justin's going to be in our class soon. And today, the one of you guys are here, thank you for being in here today with the adult class. As we open today, I would like to remember in the book of Matthew that I want to stay on a point and a focus of. Whenever I read the book of Matthew, Matthew, to me, his writings always make me feel warm and fuzzy. I think like I'm Matthew when I'm reading the book of Matthew. Did I say that right? I feel for Matthew. I like his writings. I like his style. Some of the other apostles, maybe not so much, but Matthew is one of my, to me, he's cool. He says cool things. He has nice things to say in his writings. And one of the chapters primarily that I like is chapter 22. So if you're in that chapter, you don't have to open your Bibles, but in that chapter, you hear real cool stuff. It's the one where the king sets out to have a big wedding party. And he sends soldiers and saints and soul winners and everybody. Hey, my son's getting married. Y'all go get some people. We're going to have a big wedding. Y'all remember that one? Those of you that are Bible scholars, I'm looking around, not visitors in here today. But in that portion of scripture, during the wedding, he sends everybody out. And in 22:11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the guy was speechless. You ever done that before? Went to an event, teach you this one just in case, guys, when in doubt, always bring a jacket and a tie. Because you could always lose the jacket and the tie and go shirt. Okay? But if you go shirt and you walk into jacket and tie, you're going to find yourself buying a cheap jacket and a cheap tie, and you should have probably just skipped the event. So this guy's in the wedding party, and I always thought when the king looked at him, he said, Friend. He didn't go, hey, you. Friend, how you got in here dressed like that? And all the soul winners, maybe somebody was knocking doors that day and forgot to tell him, hey, man, we're having a big wedding party. You need to come to our church. You could get baptized in Jesus' name, get filled with the Holy Ghost. You ever had an invite? Come to church and you go, oh, I should have probably told them how they could step it up a little bit and feel a little bit more comfortable when they come to the congregation. Now, I'm saying this, I'm not preaching clothesline by any message, but in this message, but by any means, it's something really important how we come to the house of God and how we're adorned. Because you could stick out God's going to go, oh, how'd you get in here? Now, this guy's getting ready for a wedding. How many of y'all like going to weddings? Anybody? I like going to weddings. I used to cater. Weddings were always fun. Much better than a funeral. All day long. You get to talk about people at the weddings. It's really a spectator sport, man. I've heard more at weddings than just about anywhere. And at this wedding, I could only imagine the king and the what he put into the catering of the wedding. And he sees somebody come in not properly dressed for his wedding. So the king goes to the guy is speechless. And in verse 13, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and get him out of here. Now, I've been thrown out a few establishments, probably like some of you. Anybody? I've been asked to leave and excuse myself many a times, like probably some of you. How many of you remember when you were little and you were like pastor's mom and said, get up out of that chair. Let's get out of this building. These guys were bound worse than that, hands and feet. Brother Lee, what are you doing in them clothes? Brother Paul, elder, get him out of here. They didn't pick him up under his arms. They tied him down, took him out, and put him into utter darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't know what the guys that went out in the town to get these guests told the guests what they were getting themselves into. But for this poor soul, this wedding was something else. He should have really got dressed right. He should have put on something that was more appropriate, right? In the end of this chapter, in studying long time ago, I got something that I want to share with you. And it's found in verse 34. We can start there. If you continue reading the chapter, you'll find out where Jesus was with Sadducees and Pharisees. And Jesus had just shut the Sadducees down by talking about the wedding. And the Pharisee, an attorney, a know-it-all, wants to speak now. And he gets into it with Jesus a little bit, and he says, hey, tell me which one is the greatest commandment of them all. What's the biggest law there is? I got to know. And Jesus tells him, and everybody knows this when you follow along, or you could quote it if you want. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And if you continue reading the verse, a few verses down, it says, finally, Jesus shut everybody down. And nobody even spoke back to him. It was case closed. When I was studying sometimes back, and I'll share with you, I am first generation. I did not know how to do the apostolic thing. And it is an apostolic thing. If you go visit apostolic churches, there's something about apostolic people you identify. Bam, they're apostolic. Is that all right? And it could be the way they appear. But it's usually the spirit of the people that will give you the impression. Amen? Because there's lots of people that can look the look, but they don't walk the walk and talk the talk. But as soon as you meet apostolic people, the kindred bond, the kindred spirit, one to another is something that's quick. Amen? And in the quickness of it all, I would always think, as an apostolic man, and you as apostolic women, want to portray the best. On my job, when I get up and go to work, I don't get up and go to work and see how bad I could do today. Do y'all? Just want to check. I had met many. Yet. But if you were going to work today and you put on your uniform, if you wear a uniform, or you put on your power clothes if you have an office job, and you put on your favorite shoes and your power tie and you go and negotiate, what does it feel like when you get up and go? You put on it and you're ready to go, amen? When you guys got dressed to come to church today to be a part of the wedding here this afternoon, when you got dressed, did you go put on your power church clothes today? Did you think about, These shoes are going to look good with this outfit. I'm going to wear this tie. I'm going to wear this jacket. I'm going to wear this blouse. If you're a sister, hopefully you knew brothers, didn't want to put on no blouse this morning. When you get out and you put on the wardrobe, that's one thing that might make you apostolic. But the other three things we're going to discuss here today in class, and I'm not going to feel long-winded that you would stay with me, is that when we put on our best, we try to do our best at all times, but when we put on our best, we are our best. I've said in times before, how many of y'all used to, were little like me and you had a cap gun? Anybody remember what a cap gun was? Put in the tape, had a little powder in it, pulled the trigger, pop, a little smoke came out. Telling my age now. Then when they advanced, it was a plastic cylinder. You put in a revolver, you go pop, pop, pop. Boy, when I had the gun and the cowboy clothes on, I was sure enough cowboy. Sure enough. Get me a bow and arrow in this nice string and a suction cup on it. Safety back in the days. No safety glasses, though. Start playing bow and arrows, I was sure enough an Indian. And boy, when Kung Fu came alive in America, didn't know nothing about it, but if I had my wardrobe on, Taekwondo, I didn't know. You know, I was on, chop everything coming around. When I put on these, what I believe Jesus would have us to wear, when you put on the proper clothing, he speaks to us to put on first, and I don't know if it's prioritized. He says to put on in thy heart. Heart is often used 160 times in the scriptures, and it revolves around the center of your personality, your heart. Loving with all thine heart, with all your feelings, with all your emotions. How many of you operate in your heart? You don't have to raise your hands. I'm just going to go slow here because I don't want to wear out time. But think about it as I go, in your heart, you're a very emotional person. It comes naturally to you. You were emotional before you got the Holy Ghost. Brother Keith, I had the Holy Ghost so long, I don't even know what I was, like a baby. Were you always emotional? Because you have to love him with all your emotions. Amen? You have to love him with thine heart. When we think about our heart, how many of y'all open-hearted or closed-hearted, for example? Big-hearted. That's a big-hearted person. When you pray from your heart. When you minister from your heart. You, even if you work in the altars, you're working from your heart. Oh, feel for that person. You may know somebody at the bottom, and you feel, and you plug into their emotions. They're going through hard times, and you know the hard times, how it feels, and you pray through that feeling. Is that good or bad? It's good, of course. Praying for anybody in any kind of way is a good thing. But when you're subjective to an open-hearted person, you can get damaged real easy. How many open-hearted people get hurt? I'm not very open-hearted. I'm just raising my hand for y'all open-hearted people. I'm not one of them. As emotional as I am, I usually don't pray from my heart because I learned to pray from my mind. Which is the, we're going to close on that one. It's not mentioned in the Bible that many times. Second one is thy soul. The soul, and this one was hard to describe. How many of y'all can describe your soul? I struggled with this. I had to use the dictionary. When you speak about your soul, that's pretty hard to describe. How many of y'all can relate to your soul? How many of y'all can touch your own soul? Real quick. You're that close within yourself. Because we are made up and we're a model of. In your soul, let me give you some definitions of the dictionary. The principle of life, the thought and actions in humans regarded as a distinct entity separate from the body. Your soul is not, if you would, a part of your body. Your soul is separate from the body, but it feels like your body. And it acts like your body. And it's commonly held that the soul that we have is going to live eternally in a happy place or a not happy place. Now, that's about as good as I could get. It's the spiritual part of human beings, and it's distinct from your physical when you think about your soul when you go home. The soul that we often try to portray, and it's in here in my soul. Well, at the end of the day, by definition, your soul, when this body dies, is going to go somewhere. Right? Against our doctrine, with our doctrine, for our doctrine. Your soul is part of you that you got to give it all to God if you love him. It's the greatest part of the greatest commandment. A soul can survive death. That was the last one I wanted to be plugging in there. When you think about yourself, your soul is going to survive death. How many of you foresee your death? Anybody do watch too much TV? Oh, I'm going to die. If you can foresee your death, remember that. If you're sick, you're incurable disease sick, there's a part of you that's going to go on. Amen? In your mind, the last one that's in the scripture is your intellectual power. I'm not very smart, personally. I don't think I am. I got a kind of an engineering mind. After that, I've kind of lost. I kind of struggle through. I don't know how you guys think and how you guys feel. If I can't count it and if I can't see it moving, I'm kind of not with it. That's why I don't really open my heart up that much, because I can't see it. I feel for it. When I pray all, I cry like a girl. I speak out loud. I speak with other tongues. I roar a lot when I pray in my spirit. But I actually don't think like that. I'm asking you for the ponder. How do you think just for a minute? Do you think with your mind? We just prayed just recently before we took service. And Pastor was praying in his mind. He spoke in English. And he spoke over us in the men in here. And when he said a few words, bam, my soul opened up. When people lead us in prayer, they don't often start talking off in tongues, do they? I mean, it has happened. You've seen somebody just feel the anointing, the power of God, and they get the mic, and it's all Holy Ghost. For those that are not at that point in time, you wishing you knew what they said so you could pray along. But often, people lead us in prayer in whatever language we're in. I'm speaking Cajun right now. When if I was to open in prayer right now, it wouldn't take you long. Those of you filled with the Holy Ghost, I would say something in English, and it would trigger in your mind and open up your soul. And or I would say something that would touch your emotions and hurt your feelings, or get your feelings excited, and you would bam right into the Holy Ghost. Am I going too fast? I feel like I want to stay slow just because I don't want to be long-winded. I don't want to miss any of the points that I feel in the Holy Ghost. Your mind, that element, the part, the substance, or the process, the reasoning, your thinking, your wills, were all things I found in the dictionary. But from Brother Keith, you can have a liberal mind. You can have a closed mind. You could lose your mind. Somewhere in the process, God expects us to take these three topics. Your mind, being 13 times in the Bible, your soul was 105, and your heart was 160. Your heart, your soul, and your mind have to come together to go to the great wedding. You have to learn how to manage and operate in the three. How many of you ever find yourself operating in the gift of suspicion? I said that one slow enough. You operate in the gift of suspicion. I'm guilty of it too. Yea, I say unto thee. Yep, I was right. Ooh, I was wrong. That's the kind of garment that I think the king will come up to us and say, hey, who let you in here? You can't do that in here with that kind of gift. You can't operate in your own power. I have had many a times, and I'm speaking, not that I'm greater than you, I just don't want to offend others, because this fine line, That's the greatest commandment. You can't do the second commandment unless you master the first. You're not going to love nobody like yourself. Operating the gift of suspicion. There is zero power in you, in the Holy Ghost, if you're not well balanced. Those of you that are using the gifts, can I see your hands if you're not ashamed of it? Some of y'all know. It's just, we operate in church, and I know this is a church function, and I have the microphone now, and sooner or later somebody's going to pass the baton, and we're leading the service. But you know good and well when the Holy Ghost is moving here, and you're in tune with the Spirit of God, that God's speaking to you and moving in you. He's preparing you not only for being in here for the moment, that you would be a blessing to someone in here, but especially for when you go home as a parent, when you go to work as an employee, or when you even go to school as a student. That's what this charging station, if you would, this filling station of coming to church and being in Bible studies and church worship services, is to charge our tank, to fuel back up. When we're here, how many of you have dreams? Anybody? Godly dreams. Don't be scared. I'm not going to pick on you. I have dreams too. The first vision I had came in the night vision. It was in my sleep. I saw exactly what I was going to see with my eyes open in my sleep. Somebody with my personality, I would dare say, if you're close to me and you bounce all over the wall all the time, God will not speak to you when you're bouncing on the walls. He's going to catch you when you slow down. It'll be in your sleep. But the first dream I ever had, the first vision I had, were all in my sleep. And when I woke up the next day, very next day, lights on, bam, the sun came up. I was ready. That's 20-something years ago. I still have dreams. I believe in miracles. Amen? Okay? When we're operating in the gifts and when you're plugged in, and you, for example, you would have a vision or a dream, do remember that you're mixed with emotion and that you're mixed with intelligence. If you have a pizza dream, or red bean and rice dream, and you wake up and it's, yea, I say unto thee, check yourself. Is that okay, Pastor? Just check yourself. Because if it doesn't line up with intellect, well, that's way out there. Maybe I'll go to them and share this with them. And I don't want to make stuff up because y'all, I don't want to touch nobody's button. Because if you miss, you miss. God protects his gifts. If you miss, you miss. If you want to go to the great wedding and you miss, and pastor has to talk to you, hey, I think you missed. You just accuse somebody of thinking and doing something that I don't believe you're right about. Okay, and you miss, that's probably a pizza or a red beans and rice dream. When you're using your intellect and you hear from the platform and you're taking in the word of God, use your intellect. Make sense out of things. Now, there's comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. And I don't want to point fingers at who I may think is feeble-minded, because often I sit under the word of God and I'm very feeble-minded personally. How do you hear and think when pastor's ministering? Are you easily distracted with your phone? While pastor's ministering, you got a phone in your hand. Now, most of us use the Bible app. Okay? Well, when you're following a pastor and the screen is changing, that is usually not the Bible app. Those of you that wear glasses and we can see the reflection from your glasses and the phone is changing, the blue light is flickering, that is probably not your Bible app. When you take the time and plug in to put on your wedding garment, please remember the complications of mixing in your mind and your soul and your intelligence. When we discipline our children, when we have heated discussions with our spouses, when we have other brothers and friends and co-workers and all, and we're about to approach them as an apostolic Holy Ghost filled person, they are watching our attire. That is the attire we are preparing to go to this great wedding that's going to happen in. Okay? Because when we go, no matter if I have on my Florida's Natural uniform or not, I'm still Brother Keith at work. I have been there for years now, and I still have people come and ask me to pray for them in the uniform. And what they see is not a burgundy shirt that has Florida's Natural logo on it. They see me as a minister. They see me as a believer. They see me as somebody they can come and pray with. Just the same thing that happens to you on your jobs. The garment that we wear shines much more brighter, if you would, through the clothing that we have on. As we prepare for the great wedding day, let me weigh my words here because I wrote them down. If you don't believe you're a minister, shame on you today. That's soft enough. Everybody in here is a minister. Pastor is our pastor. He's a minister. Every one of us in here has a work for God. If you're under the sound of my voice and you have no work for God, before they bind you up, tie you by your hands and feet, and throw you into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, as a Sunday school teacher, I want you to charge yourself before you leave today and work on your ministry. If you're a husband and you need to work with your wife on the married ministry, or you're the wife and you need to work with the husband on the married ministry, please work together today on your ministry. Work together with him and her in your intellect, with your emotions, and with your mind. If you're having trouble parenting or grandparenting, since we're in an adult class, and you're trying to nurture up and train up children in the way they should go, to go with you. How many of you believe in the afterlife? I mean, honestly. Today, if you thought you were going to die, you're going to go into another life that your soul will carry on. Sometimes we forget that. I do. And I meet a lot of people that believe like I do. And when I look at them, I said, you ready to go today? And they give me that, huh, I don't know. Man, you got the Holy Ghost and you don't know if you're ready to go today. You're not ready? You've been baptized in Jesus' name? In this world and in this time, as we're rocked to sleep, there's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful wedding. It's going to be the most exciting thing that this earth has ever seen. But it's also going to be a terrible day for lots of people on this earth. As we prepare ourselves, and I'm going to close here in just but a minute, think about when we're going to go into the next service, please, if I could challenge you to remember the 3 points that I want to make. Because when we're going to practice for the wedding, I would like to say church services are like rehearsals. I get away from my notes. I'm getting too complex. I want to be sweet. This is going to be like a rehearsal. Because one day, everything we brought here today is going to be gone. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to have a change. And this is going to transform us so fast. I remember single. Anybody remember single? That's married? I remember single. And when I said I do, I was married. I didn't even know what happened. It didn't happen like instantaneously. I remember kissing the bride and giggling. I didn't think I was no more married than the man on the moon, but that piece of paper I signed said I was. Some of us have declared our lives to live for God. And we forget those things in our mind. We forget those things in our emotions, and we forget those things in our souls. And if I could stir you one time more again before I close, think about when we're going to rehearse in just a little bit and somebody's going to sing your favorite song. Hopefully your favorite song will be sang today. I didn't get to participate much in the rehearsal. But when I hear my favorite song, I sing it in my mind first. I'm thinking it, thinking the words. I'm thinking in my intellect. I know the words to the song. And if depending on how that day I feel, my emotions kick in. I might be real happy. How many of y'all like to worship happy? Oh, yes, that seems to be the apostolic trend. Ooh, let's run in church. But my emotions may not be happy. My emotions may be sad. And I begin to raise my hands and I cry out to God in my emotions. And then, but a split second, because if you're tuned, your soul will pop wide open. And it's the best song and it's the best service you ever had. It was so good, you don't know who you were worshiping next to. You heard the music kick off, but you forgot what the song was about. Amen. You ran in church, you didn't bump anybody. How does that happen? Sometimes you get bumped. Ask Brother Justin Sproles when he comes back to church with the black eye. That happened in the altar. I thought he got in a fight in the playground, in the gym or something. It happened in the altar. Somebody wasn't in coordinating with their three spirits here. When you guys, when we go into the next service, I would ask you, in your mind, think about what you're singing. In your spirit, in your emotion, let loose. If you're sad today and you want to cry, I'm a little sad today. I'm a little tired, probably is why I got my emotions going. I didn't get enough sleep. But I'm happy that I'm in church. And my soul, anybody want to know a tip? Who's new to this? You can keep your hands down. I was taught this as a young man. When I would pray and try to enter in to where I could pray in the Holy Ghost like I do now, I was taught to remember things God delivered me from. I let that sink in. I was taught to think of, in my mind, things that God delivered me from, so therefore it set a plateau for my emotions to be grateful for what God did, and my soul would pop right open. Who's in here in my family? Okay, it's just Alexis is safe. Oh, Jolie's up top. Shucks, can't say it. Believe it or not, Holy Ghost filled, I would go back in my mind to places where I probably would never want to go again, see faces I never want to see again, think of things I did that I never want to do again, but it was but for a split second, and my soul would pop open. Just a tip as I close. I had in my notes to give thanks for an honor where honor is due. And please, as we stand, I like to pray over us in English. And don't let me forget honor, Brother Troy. It's on you if I forget. As we close in prayer, I'm going to ask you to think in your mind, who's not here today that you really wish was sitting right next to you, could be holding their hand? Spouse, neighbor, child, family member, that you could, if I could think of their, just think. And I want to let you ask you, and you let your emotions enter in. Maybe they're lost. Maybe they're in rebellion. Maybe you didn't do enough this week to get them to come to church. And I'm asking you, while you're thinking of those two things, let's pray with our soul open. If you have the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, let's give a moment of prayer to those people. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity to be in Sunday school here today, Lord. Lord, I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, as we close in prayer, there's many loved ones that are not here right now as we speak, God. They're traveling, they're working out of town. They don't believe anymore. They don't believe in us anymore. They don't believe in you anymore, God. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, for that loved one that's missing right now from church, God, in Jesus' name. That's missing right now from being in the kingdom of God with us, God. And Lord, with a happy voice and a loud voice, we thank you, God, for them in Jesus' name. Oh, God, and if we all got a hurting right now with tears running down our cheeks, God, our loved one, God, in Jesus' name, bring them to church. Bring them into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said amen. To give honor, I'd like to thank all you guys that did the fish fry yesterday. How many of y'all were able to come to the fish fry?